You're listening to Cinema Central. I'm your host, as always, DJ Ace, and we are in deep into the summer movie season. And this week, it is time to talk about Dark Phoenix, the last X-Men film to be released by 20th Century Fox. So to begin, Dark Phoenix is a rehash of one of the biggest storylines in the X-Men comic book lore. This is also the second attempt thematically to adapt this storyline to the big screen after X-Men The Last Stand botched it in 2006. While this version does offer some improvements, the movie still hits on almost all of the same plot notes, with a few exceptions. But more than that, the film takes an unexpected and unnecessary direction that does not do this movie any favors in redeeming this particular story. Bottom line, this was not the send-off that this iteration of the X-Men deserved, and it is a disappointing to see them out on such a lackluster note. Full spoilers are ahead for the rest of the review, so if you plan to see Dark Phoenix, then turn back now, otherwise here we go. There's so much to talk about when it comes to this movie, but I want to discuss the major points of contention first. The first 20 minutes or so of this film were actually quite good. The part where the film jumped the shark for me is when the aliens got involved. Yes, aliens. So I like that they correctly portrayed the Phoenix Force as this cosmic energy that destroys everything it touches and that Jean somehow absorbs it. That all went over very well. But when we find out that Jessica Chastain's character is an alien named Vok, whatever, that's what the credits say. I don't think they even name her in the movie. She wants to control the Force for herself and yada 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 bad guy stuff. The point is that this is when the movie really just got quite absurd. There was literally no reason for aliens to take part in this story. I would like to say this movie should center around the X-Men because they are in the title. But even that's not true. This movie's just called Dark Phoenix. Not only that, but these were really obscure aliens from the comics as well. So I have no idea what they were thinking with the whole alien angle. Like, why? It was so unnecessary. The big thing for me is that the second trailer for this film offered a much better movie than the one we got. In the trailer, we got the impression that Jessica Chastain's character was more like a mental manifestation of the Phoenix Force that just appeared to Jean. That would have made way more sense and would have made a much better movie in my opinion. But nope, we got aliens. The only good thing we got from these stupid aliens is that the X-Men got to do some really great kills on them in the third act. However, the root of this movie's problems go back to 2006 X-Men The Last Stand. Now, I fully acknowledge that there are bad movies that I can find enjoyment from. And when I was like in middle school, when the third X-Men came out, I know I love that movie, but however, we all know now it's kind of terrible. Simon Kinberg co-wrote that movie. He also wrote and directed Dark Phoenix, so you can see where there may be an issue here. He even keeps the majority of the major plot points. Jean suffers some childhood trauma, Charles Xavier takes her to his school. He then puts mental blocks in her mind to protect her from the painful memories. Then bam, Phoenix Force tears down the mental walls and she gets super pissed at him and can't control her powers anymore. That is the plot for both of these films in a nutshell. It baffles the mind that the studio let him do the same thing twice. So I'm just going to leave that there. The other thing, and this is no secret, the X-Men franchise timeline is in complete shambles. Because, like, the time frame of these films is completely absurd. The original X-Men trilogy 1, 2, and 3, like, take place in the future, and the reboot prequels, which started with X-Men First Class, that came out in 2011, and that movie takes place in the 1960s. Dark Phoenix takes place specifically in 1992, theoretically before the first X-Men movie. So apparently having mutant powers also makes you immortal, because Xavier and Magneto still look the same. It's been over 30 years and they have barely aged at all. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender, but continuity is out the freaking window on this one. Speaking of Magneto, how is it the U.S. government gave him his private mutant island? Like Genosha, I know that's a comic book friendly bit of lore, but for the continuity of this franchise makes zero sense. This is the guy that almost murdered the entire planet in X-Men Apocalypse and almost murdered the president of the United States in Days of Future Past. So I have no idea why the government would give him anything except a bullet to the head. I mean, I know it doesn't make sense because bullets are metal and he can just move them, but you know what I'm saying. And continuing on the Magneto rant, in the previous two films, they have been teasing the Quicksilver-Magneto connection, so I was really hoping they would pay it off in this film. If you don't know, in the comics, Quicksilver is Magneto's son, but there isn't even an acknowledgement because Quicksilver is only in the film for 5 minutes. Dark Phoenix is almost 2 hours long. He's literally in it for the beginning of the film, and then he just reappears briefly at the very end of the film, and doesn't do anything else in the entire movie, which is a sad waste of a character because he had one of the most iconic moments in Days of Future Past. And then there is Mystique, played by good old Jennifer Lawrence. You can just tell she did not want to be in these movies anymore. She was only in the film for like 5 minutes and she straight up gets murdered, which the trailers totally just show you that she gets killed, which is just shameful marketing. And also, you could tell she's done with this movie because, like, makeup wise, they just do her from the neck up and that is it. So yeah, she's totally done with these and probably not coming back. I'd be surprised to see Jennifer Lawrence in another franchise for a while, to be quite honest. And this is really just nitpicky, but why is Cerebro suddenly wireless? Because as I've already established, like, these movies take before the original X-Men trilogy. And in those movies, Cerebro clearly has cables, and it's in the future. So how is it wireless in the past? And why would they downgrade it later? It makes no sense. So I know I've said a lot of bad things about this movie, but where are the good parts, you may be wondering by now? So am I. I'm just kidding. But let's change gears here. I actually felt the strongest element in the film was Sophie Turner. I think she played Jean Grey and her internal struggles like a champ. I also like Cyclops because he has some good things to do and because I like the actor Ty Sheridan from Ready Player One. While I also think Nicholas Holt was done playing in this franchise, he played the part well, and he had some good dialogue with Charles. And speaking of which, I like Charles' character arc in this film because he was kind of on an ego trip, and then this whole thing with Jean happens, and then it all comes crashing down around him. The third act of this film was far from perfect, what with a disposable CGI army of aliens and all that jazz. But we got some really solid action on that train scene, like everyone was showing up. I like that Nightcrawler got a little berserk and straight up murdered some aliens. And Magneto, I will never get tired of his particular skill set. Not gonna lie, I've just realized that the list of bad things to say has grossly outweighed the number of good things. So I'll just make one final good point for the movie. The ending! And I don't mean that in a negative way. Oh yeah, the ending, because we're done watching this movie. No, I actually really like the ending, or rather, the ending parts. There was a moment of reconciliation between Charles and Jean, which was great, where she like forgives him for what he did. I really like that. And then, of course, it appears that she isn't totally dead, but maybe just like transcended into a higher being of some sort. But the part I actually did like was the moment of reconciliation between Charles and Eric at the very end. Charles is like at this cafe in Paris or something, and then Eric shows up with a chessboard, and it was really touching, and it almost brought a tear to my eye because if anyone deserved it, it was these two, and I really just love both these characters, but more so the actors playing them, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender. And it was just a good callback to the other films, so I'm glad that they at least got a decent send-off in this film. So as I said earlier, this was a far cry away from being the finale to the X-Men franchise that we deserved, but it is the one we got, and we are just going to have to learn to live with it and find the good things in it as we go and wait for Marvel to reboot the franchise in a few years. And if you want to hear my theories on how that is going to happen, be sure to visit the Facebook page at Ace Cinema Central. Until then, I will see you next time for Men in Black International.
Booyah!